I want to introduce you to Nick County. So Nick drove 8.5 hours to be here yesterday afternoon. So I got to our VIP dinner at, 7:30 last night. It's really late. So we were really grateful for Nick to be here. Nick and I sort of studied together a couple of years back. Great guy, has some really great content. So just really enjoy this afternoon. So Nick's going to do a session now. We're going to have some lunch and he's going to come back and do the follow-up session after lunch. So just really enjoy it. It's going to be fantastic. So if you could give a round of applause, Nick Yannon.
Thanks, mate. Okay. Can you guys hear me? Did I turn this thing on right? Yep. Cool. Good. So, having a good time so far? Cool. It's going to be pretty awesome for the next two sessions, in my humble opinion, clearly. I've done this presentation plenty of times, so it never fails to get a good response. I think you guys will really enjoy it. It's pretty practical. This first part is going to be quite a bit of theory, and then after lunch we're going to get in and do some really hands-on stuff. Is that cool with you? Okay, so let's kick it off. While you were out networking and having a coffee and going to the bathroom and all that kind of stuff, I went through everyone's bags. Okay, now, just quick caveat, this is, I'm joking, okay, clearly I didn't do that. So I went through everyone's bags and I took all of your money, strapped it to a bomb, all right? I want you to imagine that your entire net worth is attached to a bomb and it's going to go off in the next 10 seconds and you lose everything if you don't get the next activity correct. Is that cool? Are you all on the same page? Okay. On the next slide, you're going to see numbers all over the screen. And what I want you to do is find those numbers in order from one. Everyone can count. Yep. All good? Okay. So you're going to find number one, then you're going to find number two, then number three, then number four, then five, and on and on and on. Anyone confused by the instructions? No. Ready? 10 seconds, okay? Time starts now. How'd we go? 4, 2, 9, that's pretty good. 6, 4, 8, 3, 9, 7, 8, 4, 5. Okay, so no one got above 9, that was the highest. And we averaged about 6 or 7. Cool. What we're going to do is we're going to do the same activity again, but this time, don't actually start yet. Don't go looking for the numbers. Just pay attention to me for a second. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how to do this. Okay. The numbers go in a clockwise order. So 1 is in the top left-hand corner, 2's in the top right, 3's in the bottom right, 4's in the bottom left. And then 5, 6, 7, 8, on and on. All right, so look at me. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to do it again. And this time, you'll probably find that you get much higher. Are we ready? 10 seconds starts now. What I want to know this time is, what did you get the first time and what did you get the second time? 5 to 13. Okay, so that's almost 3 times. 4 to 17, so that's like 4 times, 400% improvement. 8 to 17, that's over double, right? So that's 100% improvement. 7 to 16, that's over double as well. 9 to 16, that's good too. Can't do the maths on that, but that's well done. Yep. 3 to 18, okay. So that's six times, right? 600%, yep. 8 to 16, exactly double. Thanks for making it easy on me. Yep. 4 to 15, that's good too. I'm tired now, my brain's not doing maths anymore. 6 to 16, 9 to 23, wow, cool, to 50, 15, so I've been doing this for years, this simple exercise. I've never heard someone go from 2 to 50, 15, okay, cool. I was so impressed then. I'm still impressed, but I was way more impressed. Yep, 4 to 17, okay, so that's over 4 times improvement as well. So, is this kind of interesting? Same task, same amount of time, but the results are minimum twice as good, up to 4, 5, 6 times as good in some cases. Why? You knew the system, right? So system's a word for it. The word I like is pattern. We know the pattern, okay? And when you can see the pattern, success comes faster and easier, and that is a cross-contextually true statement. This is true in any area of life. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here in the room right now. Like, you're here to learn about mindset this weekend, but you guys do these boot camps, what is it, 4 times a year? Yeah, and on all different topics. And why do you come and spend 2 days sitting at a table listening to people talk about whatever the topic is at the time? It's because the idea is the person out the front has potentially uncovered a pattern that will allow you to accelerate your success in that specific area. And that will allow you to slash your learning curve, implement faster, and then get faster results. Make sense? Yeah. So, what I find really fascinating about this is that if you can develop the ability to recognize patterns, you can take that skill and apply it to any area of your life. We're going to talk about business and mindset and stuff like that. I've used this in this concept of pattern recognition. I'll talk about how I learned it in a minute. I've used this in every area of my life. I used this to get a black belt in martial arts when I was 21. I used it to, I didn't have a girlfriend until I was 21. Like, I used to be really embarrassed to say this. I didn't kiss a girl until I was 21. Yeah, I was like I wasn't always this strappingly handsome guy you see before you. Thanks for not laughing too much. Yeah. I was just a big dork. I had no idea what to do with girls. And now my wife is brilliant. Like, she's a really intelligent woman. But a lot of times when people see us, we go to events and stuff, she comes with me, they think she's like a trophy wife, you know, eye candy. She's absolutely brilliant. She's a great entrepreneur in her own right, but she's stunning. She used to be a former, she was a professional ballerina in France, in Europe. So, you know, absolutely gorgeous woman. I went from not being able to talk to girls at all, just stuttering, to now married to tall, thin, beautiful, athletic, brilliant, funny, wonderful woman. And that's because pattern recognition, okay? In our businesses, we went from struggling, like my wife and I, debt-free, did the whole make $1 million thing, spend most of my time practicing jiu-jitsu and playing with our kids, and it's all as a result of this skill, okay? So, what I found is there are 3 essential skills, if you want to master your mind, that you need. And the reason that I like to talk about this up front is, obviously you're all open to the idea that you can improve your mindset, but a lot of people struggle with the idea because, in all honesty, there's a lot of shit in this industry. There's a lot of fluff, and it can be hard to separate the 90% of rubbish that people put out there from the 10% of stuff that actually works. Have you noticed? Especially if you spend any time on Facebook, there's always someone out there who's going to be talking about just visualize a Ferrari and then you're going to get the Ferrari. It's like, yeah, let's try it. Give it a shot. Has anyone seen The Secret? That DVD, The Secret? Anyone have no idea what it is? No idea. Basically, it's about the law of attraction, what you think about, you bring into reality. And it's motivating, it's a cool DVD, but it's caused a lot more problems than it's solved, in my opinion, because it's really set people up with this idea that whatever you focus on is what you're going to get in your life, guaranteed. And it's just not that simple. There's a lot of other stuff underneath the surface that gets in the way. That does work if you're completely clear of mental roadblocks and limitations and limiting beliefs and stuff like that. You can visualize what you want and you'll probably get it much faster than someone who isn't visualizing. But what I've found is if you get rid of all the fluff, what you need is, based on science, right, to master your mind, mental acuity, which is fine-tuning your senses so that you can pick up on things that other people miss, okay? And then putting that through the lens of pattern recognition so that you can identify what it is that causes some people to succeed and others to fail at the same task. Or, like we showed with the count the numbers exercise, how can you do something 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times better, easier, faster, and get 6 times the results in the same amount of time with the same effort? Did anyone feel they were straining 6 times more the second time I asked you to count the numbers? No, but you get 6 times the results, okay? So, mental acuity. Next is psychology, strategic thinking. This is understanding how your mind works, what happens on a psychological level to cause you to self-sabotage, get in your own way, and everyone does it. I still do it in some ways, I'm sure. How to identify what those things are, how to find out what the root cause is, and how to remove it very quickly and replace it with something that's more resourceful and is going to help you get where you want to go. Okay. And finally, emotional resilience. And I put this under the banner of suggestion. Now, has anyone heard of, I'm sure we've all heard of hypnosis before. Yep. Anyone heard of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming? Anyone not heard of it before? No? Cool. Okay. So for a long time, I used to teach workshops for about 120, 150 days a year on those two topics. I had a really big company doing training and coaching. And what I found is that, again, there's a lot of stuff in those industries that's fluff, the way that people teach it. So I took all of the techniques that I was taught and that I was teaching my clients, and I trimmed them ruthlessly. I cut out all of the fat and all the fluff, and I found that you could get pretty much any mindset change process down to about 7 minutes or less. And a lot of these were taking 10, 20, half an hour, 45 minutes. When I did that, I realized there's a great opportunity to brand that concept, so I wrote a book called 7 Minute Mindset. Okay, wrote that about 4 years ago, became a massive, big smash hit all over the world, really, really cool. And a lot of the stuff that I'm going to teach today comes from that book. Okay. Now, Steve suggested that I bring some copies along if anyone wanted to buy one, and I completely forgot. So what I'm going to do instead is, at the end, I'll give you guys a URL where you can go and download a free copy of the ebook version. Is that cool? Yeah, because you'll probably want some more information by that time. So, suggestion is what makes things like hypnosis and NLP work. They're not magical, they're not mystical. It's simply the ability to alter your state of consciousness to a point where a suggestion is readily accepted. Because most of the time, your conscious mind is criticizing things and making judgments of this is good, this is no good, I like that, I don't like that, this is true, that's rubbish, what's this guy talking about? And so certain suggestions don't go in. When you have some of the skills I'm going to hopefully pass on to you guys today, you'll be able to bypass that conscious part of your mind with the things that you want and allow them to go straight into your subconscious mind. We're going to give you an actual hands-on practical tool to do that in the second session, so that you can do things like control your emotions on command. Does that sound kind of cool? I heard Steve talking about, like, what are your buttons, what are your triggers? What if you could identify a trigger, and then you've got, what was it, Steve? You've got, like, the button and then the whir and then the response, yeah? Click, whir, response, right? The whir happens along the wire. Imagine that it's like someone presses a button, you got the wire, triggers the emotional response. What if you could just cut the wire and they press the button all day long, yeah? You can do that it takes literally 60 seconds to do that once you know how. Right? It takes a little bit longer to learn how to do it, but once you know how, you close your eyes, you run the process, bang, the button doesn't work anymore. And then what you can do, if you like, is you can choose a different emotional state that you'd like to be in. You can make that the response when the button's pushed. So instead of they press the button and then you get angry, they press the button, you go into a state of calm. Yeah? Or something like you come out here and you need to do public speaking. Anyone do public speaking? A couple of us? Okay. Do you get nervous? Yeah. What if instead of nerves, you could be like supremely confident? Just know that you're going to absolutely rock it. Do I look nervous to you guys? I used to stutter. That's not true. I've never stuttered. Don't know why I said that. What I meant to say is I used to say and ah and like and stuff like that. Stammer. That's the word I was asked after. I used to say that all the time. I used to get really nervous when speaking in public. And now I absolutely love it. Like, I don't even warm up or really prepare myself to do this apart from putting the slides together. I just know that when I come out here, I've done it so many times, the trigger for me is now walk out in front of a room full of people. That's the trigger. Yeah, that's the click. The whir happens. And then the emotional response is I go into the right state that I need to be in. Okay? So I'm going to... Is it cool if I show you how to do that? Does this sound interesting? Yeah. Okay. So this idea of suggestion is so important because it's highly likely that you've never really thought about it like this before. For example, if I go like this, what's the response? You wave back. Why? It's polite. Why? It's what's been programmed in. Click, whir, response. Okay? Same kind of thing. You can actually use that whole concept to, if you want to get a bit evil about it, to control people when you know how to do these kind of things. Now, I don't recommend that you do that. I've only ever had to kick one person out of a seminar that I was teaching once because I was asking people, what do you want to learn this stuff? And this guy said, I want to hypnotize women into bed. I said, get out the door. That's not until tomorrow at 2 o'clock. You're early. No. So we don't do that kind of stuff. Anything that's going to hurt people, okay? It's all about empowering yourself and hopefully empowering other people. So we're going to come back to that idea of suggestion. What I found working with probably tens of thousands of people over the last 10 years or so that I've been doing this is there's three massive fears. There's three massive fears that come up over and over again with people. The first one is fear of failure. Anyone got that going on? Yeah? Occasionally. Okay. The next one is fear of rejection. These are all really closely tied together. Fear of rejection. And the third one is fear that you're somehow not good enough or not worthy. Now, your personal fear that stops you might be different than these three. But in about 85 to 95% of cases, one of these three is going to be messing you up on some level. Okay? And sometimes it only becomes apparent when you set yourself a goal or you start moving in a direction that's actually scary, that is going to invoke fear. And then you find, I want to double my business in the next 12 months. How am I going to do that? Oh, I need to do this and this and this and step outside my comfort zone. And so maybe I need to do some public speaking. And all of a sudden the fear of rejection comes in. What if I get laughed off stage? Okay? Or the fear that you're not good enough because if you're used to playing at the level that you're playing at and your clients know what you do, they understand what you do, and then you want to introduce a new offering and maybe it's like 10 times the price. Yeah. And so who am I to ask for 10 times the money? Do I really deserve it? And this is not conscious conversation that goes on. This happens at the subconscious level. These beliefs were programmed in probably by the age you were 2. Okay? And so you go to 10 times your price, and in the subconscious mind, there's this little belief that goes, I'm not worthy of 10 times the amount of money per client. And so because you're not consciously aware of that, it still affects you, and it affects the actions that you take or don't take. Has anyone had an experience where you need to do some kind of work, and instead you find yourself checking the fridge or making a cup of tea? Yeah? Yeah, me too. I've done it plenty of times. That's a great sign that something's not firing properly, okay? You want to stop and go, why am I really doing this? What am I getting out of not taking action, okay? I can't remember the psychological term for this. It'll come to me, but in general terms, we call it the hidden benefit, okay? What is the positive that you get out of not getting what you want? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, three big fears. Here's what to expect. I haven't been talking very fast so far, but I tend to talk pretty fast. We've got a lot of stuff to get through. Very interactive. If you've noticed, I like to ask a lot of questions, and you find that if you don't respond, I won't let you get away with it. I'll just keep on the same point until you respond. So let's save ourselves the trouble and actually make that happen. Actually, do me a favor. Turn to the person next to you, all right, or in a little group there, and repeat after me. Oh, no. It's interactive. Okay. Now that we got that out of the way, if I ask you guys to, you know, raise your hand or answer a question, is that cool? Okay, nice. I'm not going to make you like group hug and jump around and high five and scream stuff out like Tony Robbins would, because that's the fluff. You know what I mean? That's designed to control your emotional state to get you into a heightened emotional state so that when people do that, so that they've got an agenda. They're trying to control your emotions, okay? Sometimes for good, sometimes for less than good. It's very focused, so there's a specific point that I'm building to all the way along. And the reason that I point that out is at some point you might find yourself confused by some of the things I'm talking about. Just sit with it. Feel free to ask questions at any point, and that's cool. And if we've got enough time at the end, I'll take questions as well. This is not haphazard. There's going to be some weird stuff that I say probably. And if you find yourself confused, one of the great fathers of hypnosis used to say, confusion is the doorway to understanding, okay? So just kind of sit with it and don't freak out or assume that I don't know what I'm talking about. Is that okay? Cool. So, you ever seen someone wear a suit that doesn't fit them? Yeah, it's either too big or too small. The whole point of what I'm doing here and why I want it to be so interactive is this is like a tailored suit, okay? I can take this in many directions, and if you have questions, you've got specific stuff that you want to ask me, by all means, feel free to do it. Otherwise, we could have just put a video on of me doing the presentation. Does that make sense? Okay. So who am I if you've never met me before? Oh, there's my gorgeous wife. I forgot that photo was in there. I told you she was gorgeous. That's what my book looks like, 7-Minute Mindset. I've coached and trained people from all these companies, so I think what I do is good, but I'm not the only one. It's the kind of social proof part of the presentation. My wife and I have built a ton of different businesses over the years in all different industries, okay? So in terms of, am I just a guy who stands up and talks about mindset? No, I actually don't do this professionally anymore. I used to do this for a long time, and now I'm an entrepreneur and investor. So we invest and we buy and build businesses. Sometimes we sell, most of the time we hold for the residual cash flow, okay? So, coached some pretty awesome people along the year. Anyone seen this guy before? See the TV show Gladiators? Yeah, where like muscle-bound freaks would smack each other with foam-padded sticks? Yeah. this guy was one of my clients, Derek. He's the world's strongest man. He's been in a ton of movies and stuff like that. And the reason I put this up is just to show you guys that it's everyday people from, like, and I mean from like people who have addictions that need to be sorted out, work with people like that, work with most of the time business owners and right up to like elite athletes, sports stars, TV stars, movie stars, CEOs, all that kind of stuff. It works no matter where you are, okay? So I could talk about myself for hours because, you know, we're all our own favorite topic. So you want more fluff or we jump into the meaty bits? Meaty bits, I thought so. So this concept of pattern recognition, I came across this when I was studying traditional Chinese medicine. That was my previous career before I started running mindset seminars. I spent about 10 or 15 years in the natural health industry. I was an acupuncturist and a Chinese herbal medicine practitioner, specializing in pediatrics, so childhood illnesses. And I absolutely loved it, but I was busy going broke, because I had no idea about marketing. That's one of the things that really got me on the journey of learning how to actually run a successful business. And as a result, I ended up getting out of that industry. But when you learn Chinese medicine, it's a very different diagnostic approach to Western medicine. You go into a Western doctor, and most of the time, this is a big generalization, but most of the time, if you go in with a sore thumb, they look at your thumb, and they go, well, here's what's happening with your thumb. You go in and see a Chinese medicine practitioner and it's weird. Yeah, you go, oh, I've got this problem with my thumb joint here. And they'll ask you about your sleep habits, your diet, your lifestyle, your work history. They might ask you if you're a woman about how many pregnancies have you had and what was it like. And they'll ask about your sex life and your toilet habits and all this stuff. It'll take about an hour because they're looking at the whole system that is you to try and find within that massive array of information, what's the underlying pattern causing the problem? Okay, because there's lots going on, even just with a problem with your thumb. So imagine that you're a practitioner. Anyone in natural health industries, by the way? No. Okay, cool. So imagine that you're there in a clinic, and someone comes in. And you go, "Hello, Mrs. Jones. How can I help you today?" And she goes, "Well, I've got a sore neck, a headache, a blocked nose, a sore lower back. I'm a little bit constipated, and my right knee hurts." And that's the kind of thing that happens. People don't just turn up and go, "Oh, my neck hurts." They list everything. Maybe those things are not related, but it's highly likely that there is one or two underlying patterns that are causing all of their problems. And in many cases, just one. All right? So how do you sort through all those signs and symptoms and figure out what are the two, three, four things that are actually causing the problem? You do that through pattern recognition. All right? So there's actually 10 different pattern recognition based diagnostic systems in Chinese medicine. And through learning how to do that, I became very, very good at pattern recognition. To the point where someone can walk in the door and just by watching them walk, I've got about an 80% idea of what's wrong with them. Okay? The way they walk, the way they stand, the way they hold themselves, their body type, the color of their skin, the luster of their hair, all these kind of things are diagnostically significant in Chinese medicine. So you get very, very good at pattern recognition. And it's a really fun party trick. Okay. So there's a concept in Chinese medicine. Everything's explained poetically in Chinese, which is really fun, but also makes it a bit kind of weird when explaining it to people who don't have that as a framework. And the way that they explain it is, imagine a web where everything is connected to everything else, but there's no one doing the weaving. Okay? So that's the concept that they use, the metaphor, to explain how confusing this can be if you don't have the ability to recognize the pattern. They call it the web with no weaver. And then what you want to do is be able to recognize the patterns. Yeah. Now, became very good at that in terms of diagnosis. When I started getting better at things like marketing and business and sales and stuff like that, I found that I could take those pattern recognition skills and apply it to these different areas of life and business. And I became really interested at that point in, why do most people fail? Is it possible to recognize the patterns that lead to failure and lead to success? And that started to really drive me. Have you ever noticed that there can be two people, like siblings, maybe even twins, in the same family, and they've got the same upbringing, so they don't have a particularly traumatic childhood, they've got the same life circumstances, they get all the same opportunities in life, and one turns out to be massively successful and the other one ends up on drugs? Yeah? Conceptually, right? Why? What is it that makes the difference? Why, despite the best opportunities, do some people still end up failing? And I find that most people fail. Most people fail. It's the motivating part of the presentation. Most people fail. Write that down. No. Most people fail. My definition of failure is to not achieve the goals that you set for yourself. Because we can sugarcoat it all day, and this is very common in the mindset industry, personal development. Has anyone heard things like, there's no failure, only feedback? Yeah? You either win or you learn. Yeah? My jiu-jitsu coach says that all the time. You either win or you learn. It didn't feel like I learned when that guy almost broke my arm. It felt like I lost. Yeah? So no failure, only feedback. That's true to a point. The feedback's always there, but if you don't learn from it, it might as well have not been there, because you're going to continue to repeat the same mistake, often over and over again, getting bigger and bigger and bigger until you learn the lesson. Okay? So I think anytime you don't achieve a goal that you set for yourself, by my definition, you've failed. So I'm not talking about laying in the gutter with a needle hanging out of your arm while people step on your face. Okay? That would also be failure, but that's not what we're talking about here. So why is it then that most people fail and only a few achieve real lasting success? Has this ever popped into anyone's head? Why is that person so successful? They're not that much smarter than me. They don't look like they've had a better life. I know their story. Has anyone had these kind of thoughts go through their mind? Yep. Okay. So that drove me nuts. I wanted to know, is there a blueprint, like an actual step-by-step process that if you can identify it and reverse engineer it, you can apply it to anyone and they will become much more likely to consistently achieve the results that they want for themselves? Okay. So three big questions that we're going to cover in the whole time that we've got today is, what's wrong with the modern psychology approach to dealing with fear? Fear is a big one. We'll talk quite a lot about fear. Three telltale signs that you were programmed to fail and how to fix it fast. It's not enough to know that it happened. You want to know what to do about it. Would you agree? Yep. And how to replace any fear with unstoppable confidence in 7 minutes or less. Okay. Now that sounds like a big claim, and it is a big claim. We all heard of Muhammad Ali. Yeah. Muhammad Ali was at a press conference when he was going to fight Joe Frazier, I think it was. Yeah. And what's his kind of big famous thing that he'd say? I am the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. One of the reporters put their hand up and, you. And they go, Muhammad Ali, why are you always bragging you're the greatest? And Ali's response was awesome. He sat there for a second. He thought, and his response was, it ain't bragging if you can back it up. I thought that was pretty cool. So I'm happy to make a big claim like that, how to replace any fear with unstoppable confidence in 7 minutes or less, but I'll actually back it up. And I'll back it up to the point where I'm going to demonstrate how to do it, but you're actually going to partner up and run each other through it. Okay? And the reason that I do that is because what I'll often do when I don't have, you know, 2.5, 3 hours, is I'll just run everyone through the process at the same time. And that's cool and it works, but then you leave and you get home and you go, well, that was fun and that was kind of cool, but Nick's been doing this for years and I probably couldn't do it again myself. When you run each other through the process, you'll know that the person sitting next to you helped you create this amazing experience for yourself and you did it for someone else. Okay? So it empowers you to not need me. Is that cool? Yeah. Which is a bad business decision. But it's fun. So is this right for you? I like to be held accountable when I do presentations. Okay? Otherwise, you ever been to a seminar or seen a speaker and they talk, and then you leave and you go, well, that was interesting, maybe it was rubbish, but I didn't really learn anything and there's nothing that I can use. That drives me nuts when that happens. So what we're going to do is we're going to check in with this at the end of the presentation and I'm going to ask you if you think what I've taught you will help you be more successful, because that's probably part of the reason that you showed up here, I'm assuming. Okay. We'll help you make more money. So we'll tie it directly back to actually making money. Would it be cool if what I taught you helped you make more money? Yep. And will it help you be a happier person? Because really, that's the point, isn't it? We've all heard things like money doesn't buy happiness. Yeah. And then what's the famous Keith Richards thing about it doesn't buy happiness, but it'll let you park your yacht right next to it? Yeah. Yeah. I think that's pretty true. No one wakes up and goes, I want to be really successful and make heaps of money so I can be miserable. Yeah. So we want to be more successful, make more money, and be happier. So I believe, and I wrote a book on this, how solidly I believe this, that I've found the blueprints. I'm going to share with you what causes people to fail and what causes people to succeed. Now, I didn't just make this up. I studied and interviewed and worked with thousands and thousands of people using the pattern recognition skills to try and identify this, and I think I cracked it. Okay, I go through it in a lot of detail in the book. I'm going to give you as much as I can while we're here. A couple of years ago, I wrote the book, and then I turned it into online programs, and I had this massive coaching business all built around it. I don't do that anymore because it's all set up online, automated now, so I don't actually coach anyone anymore. I spend my time playing with my kids these days. But there's other ways to access this information, if you like. So in my opinion, you were set up to fail. Set up to fail, which sucks, but it's good when you know that that's the reality. And it really is a reality. Do you want me to prove it to you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Cool. Remember, you don't get out of not answering my questions. What's this? A violin. Anyone play the violin? Anyone play any instrument at all? What do you play? Guitar. Guitar? Anyone else? Didgeridoo. Fantastic. I don't know if this next part's going to apply to a didgeridoo. Never had that answer before. Guitar. Very nice. Thanks for the save. So, think, even if you don't play an instrument, this will make sense anyway. Would you let anyone tune your guitar? Would you let anyone just come and, you know, fiddle with the machine heads at the end? No way. Why? They'll do it wrong, right? And it has to be done just right to make music. You ever heard, the reason I choose violin for this example is, you ever heard an out-of-tune violin? Sounds like someone's strangling a cat. Yeah, it sounds terrible. Any instrument out of tune sounds terrible. So what's this? It's your brain, okay? This is your most powerful instrument. Absolutely, it runs your entire body. It runs your entire life, okay? So ask yourself, who do you let tune your mind? Who do you let tune your mind? Actually, answer that question for me. Yourself? Sometimes you let people in that shouldn't be. Who tunes your mind? Just kind of call it out. Who has tuned your mind? Your environment does, yeah? School, university, family, parents, people you associate with, your mates. If you've got a guitar sitting there on a guitar stand, and one of your parents walks over and goes, oh, this looks pretty cool, and starts turning the things, that's going to be a click, whir, response scenario, isn't it? Don't touch that! Oh, now I've got to tune it again. Oh. But if you're sitting down having a cup of tea and someone starts saying negative things, you might roll your eyes and go, oh. But when you were younger, you didn't have that ability. Okay. Now, what I mean by that is you couldn't consciously choose not to take on certain bits of information up until you're around about age 7. This has been scientifically proven. Very, very fascinating. The conscious mind, like, it's called the critical faculty. It's the part we need to make go to sleep when we do hypnosis. It needs to just shut up, basically. Otherwise, it will reject all of the suggestions and no one would ever experience hypnotic trance. Okay? That part of your mind is not fully developed until around about age 7. And I make this really obvious right now, okay? Because in a second, my green unicorn is going to come through that door with presents from Santa and the Tooth Fairy for everyone. Who's excited? Yeah? Do you want to know who's excited by that statement? Anyone have kids? I've got a 5-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son, and they would be off like a shot. Why? Because that critical faculty in their mind isn't there going, well, that's obviously not true. They're like, green unicorn, fantastic, always wanted to see one of those. Oh, Santa, amazing, and off they go, right? So, because that's not, that part of your mind is not fully developed, you accept pretty much anything that goes in. And there's a reason for that. It's so that you can learn at an astonishing rate. You ever notice how quick kids learn? Yep. I saw one study once that said you learn more in the first 2 years of your life than you do in the rest of your life combined, which is amazing when you think about it. Okay, and that's because you don't have this critical part analyzing everything. It all just goes in, the good and the bad. Okay, which is why if you're not achieving results at the level that you want, it's not your fault. It's actually not your fault. But as adults, it's your responsibility to learn the science behind mental acuity, the psychology of strategic thinking and learning how to identify, well, if this is all this stuff is in there and it's all triggering and it's programming me to do certain things, avoid certain things, self-sabotage in this situation, I'm an adult, no one's going to do it for me, I have to take responsibility to learn how to get that crap out of my head and replace it with what I actually want to be running in my mind. Is this making sense? Yeah. So, let's find out just how much you were programmed to fail. As soon as you know the answer, I want you to call it out, okay? 5 plus 5. 10, okay. I before E except after C. And what goes up? Must come down. Would you agree that's what school taught you? And pretty much that's all school taught most people, yeah? Really? How about this one? As soon as you know the answer, call it out, okay? 2 all beef patties. Okay, so what is it? That's the Big Mac thing. 2 all beef patties, special sauce, cardboard, toxic waste, GMOs. Yeah, okay. On a 2 bits of styrofoam. I made that joke in front of a room full of people once, and not the CEO, his assistant of McDonald's was in the room. Yeah. She came up to me afterwards and told me who she was and then like admitted that she thought it was hilarious and a little bit true. Yeah. Yeah. So 2 all beef patties. Next one. Oh, what a feeling. Toyota. Okay. Just like a chocolate milkshake. Only crunchy. So that's what the media taught us. Now, first of all, who the hell needs a chocolate milkshake for breakfast, even if it is crunchy? Seriously. And why do you have perfect immediate recall of these things? Why? Repetition, okay? Repetition's one of the reasons. It's catchy, absolutely catchy. When were you probably first introduced to these things? And maybe not these specific ones, but, you know, others from when you were a child. Right, I put these up because when I was thinking about what am I going to put, these are the first three that came to my mind. Okay, burgers are better at. Yeah, you know all of this off the top of your head, unless you deliberately sat down with a piece of paper one day and went, just like a chocolate milkshake, only crunchy. Just like a chocolate milkshake, only crunchy. Just I've got to remember this. Just like a chocolate milkshake, only crunchy. It kind of makes only sense that that's in your mind. Because it was programmed by someone else. Yeah? How about this one? Go to school? Go to where? Gowings. Okay, cool. Go to school. What do we do at school? learn. Okay, that's the plan. What are you told at school? Sit down, shut up, head down, work hard, study hard, pay attention so you can get good grades, so you can get a good job. But what happens between school and job for a lot of people? Go to university, sit down, shut up, head down, pay attention, don't talk, work hard, study hard so you can get good grades, so you can get a good job. And then what happens? You get a good job, right? Or you get a job. Who knows if it's good? And what are you told at work? Sit down, shut up, work hard. You're not told study hard at this point. That's done. Yeah. Pay attention, do what you're told. Work hard, work hard, work hard, work hard. So you can work until you're old enough to retire. Which, if you think about the word, retire, get tired all over again. Okay? This is what a lot of people bought into. And for a lot of people these days, it's not really the way that it's not working out for a lot of people, okay? Anyone read 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss? Really good book if you haven't read it. He calls this the deferred life plan. You work your whole life until you're 65, and then, so you defer the enjoyment of your life until you're kind of, in his words, too old to enjoy it. Now, I hope not to be too old to enjoy my life when I'm 65, but I prefer to just enjoy it now. Yeah, work hard, but also enjoy life, okay? So this is what society taught us, yeah? Is anyone sitting there going, this is just ridiculous, none of this makes sense to me. 5 + 5 = 7, and just like a chocolate milkshake, only, you know, indigestible, which is pretty true as well. The problem with this is, it's proven scientifically to be wrong, okay? There's a medical journal called WebMD. They did an amazing study with a very motivating name called Early Retirement, Early Death. And they found people who retire at 55 are 89% more likely to die in the next 10 years than people who don't retire. Okay? And the majority of those people die in the first 2 years. Yeah. Interesting? Why? Why does that happen? Why do they die? Yeah, they're running at a level and it stops. Okay? When you work, you have a sense of purpose. Maybe it's not an overwhelmingly awesome one for a lot of people who are in like a bit of a cubicle job, but they know where they have to go, what they need to do, and what the point is. Okay? When they retire, they've lost that sense of purpose, and now they have to find their own sense of purpose. Okay? For a lot of people, the sense of purpose is relax. And unfortunately for humans, that's not enough to keep us alive. So they go, well, now I'm just going to chill out. I'm going to play golf. I'm going to sit on the lounge and eat potato chips and watch Oprah. Yeah? And then they develop heart disease, and within 2 years, they have a heart attack and they die. Okay? Is that making sense? Yeah. So this is what school taught us, the media teaches us, society taught us. Most people are on that track. And therefore, they are setting themselves up to fail. They're not going to achieve the goal that they want for themselves. They're going to fall well short, and this is going to be the result. Hopefully not for any of you, but for the majority of people out there, this is what they're working towards. So you've got to ask yourself, is it possible that you were taught to fail, but you never saw the training? You never saw the training happen. It was like ninja training behind your back the whole time. Yeah? Work hard, study hard, pay attention. Sit down, shut up, do what you're told. Yeah? Don't set big goals because you might fail. Don't talk to pretty girls because they're going to, I don't know, whatever I thought was going to happen. Yeah? Let's find out. When you were a kid, what was the main conversation around money in your family? What kind of things were your parents saying? Money doesn't grow on trees, which until I think it was 1992, we started printing money on the plastic. What was it made out of before? Paper. Where does paper come from? Trees. Your parents lied to you. Yeah? Okay. Money, absolutely. Money didn't grow on trees. Money was the tree. That's how wrong they got it. What else? What kind of things were your parents saying? Can't afford it. Others? Not enough money. There's not enough. In one hand, out the other. Yeah. Have you heard this one? Made round to go round. Yeah. So there's heaps more that actually, I used to have a big list of these, and what I found was so many people have issues with money and their mindset. You ever heard like you should never talk about money, politics, or religion? Yeah. The reason for that is because most people are, those are big triggers for a lot of people. It will set off their conditioning. And then you're not talking to that person, you're talking to a stimulus response robot. And no matter what you say, they're just, their emotions and their programming is what's going to come out. Okay? Unless you're hanging out with a room full of people who've worked through this stuff, and then you can have conversations about it anytime you like. What I got so fascinated by this at one point, I did an 18-month anonymous survey on people's money beliefs. Using SurveyMonkey, you guys seen SurveyMonkey? Yeah. So I was only going to do this for like a couple of months, and people just kept filling it out, so I left it up. And after 18 months, I had so much data that I shut it down, and I went through it all, and I found here is what people are struggling with around money. Here's where they've been programmed, and here's what the problems are. And I already knew how to fix it, so I started teaching workshops and seminars on that as well. Okay. Now, I don't do that anymore, so what I've done is I've taken all of the results of that and put it into a PDF. It's about 180 pages long. And I went through and I created graphs and tables and things to show you. It goes into way more than just money. It's like, what are your fears? What makes you angry? And all this amazing insights about people that I'm going to show you guys where you can get a copy of it in a minute. If you market absolutely anything, it is worth $100 million to you to have these kind of insights. So I've already done the work. I gathered all the information, and you can use this to, not for evil, use it for good. You can use this to sell more of pretty much anything. Okay? Very, very cool. So the average yearly wages in Australia at the last census was $70,668 a year. Okay? Maybe you make more, maybe you make less. Hopefully it's more. So that means the full-time adult weekly earnings, $1,359 a week. Okay? I don't know about you, but I think that sucks. I think that's pretty ordinary. This is a screenshot from the money survey that I did. Question 5, what's your yearly income? So we've got 0 to 50, 50 to 100. Okay, so less than 100 grand is what we're looking at. 79.4% of people make under $100,000. And this survey went on for 18 months, and we had hundreds, if not thousands, of responses, okay, from all over the world. Majority from Australia, though. If you keep going down here, you get to, I think it's around about 93% of people, or 95 or something, make less than 200 grand. Okay? So not a lot of people out there making decent money in the world. There's the link. If you guys want to write that down, I used to do a webinar on this stuff, and that would... Now, quick caveat, at the end of that automated webinar, there's a sales pitch. Don't buy the thing. I need to update the webinar because I don't deliver what is sold on that webinar. So I'm not putting that up there so you guys go through a sales process. It's just, it's the only place where I could find my PDF of the survey, okay? It's rare that someone stands in front of a room full of people and says, don't buy that thing, but you don't need to. When you just put your details in the form for the webinar, and on the next page you can download the survey report, okay? I think it's 183 pages. Has everyone got that who wants it? Yep, cool. So I say, why make 75 grand in a year when you can do it in 6 months? Half the time, spend the other half, you know, surfing or playing with your kids or doing whatever you want to do. Or 1 month or 1 week. Is this pushing anyone's buttons? Yeah? Or a single weekend. It'd be pretty awesome, right? Sometimes, I mean, I don't talk about this stuff. I'm sure Steve's had the same experiences. $75,000 in a weekend is a good weekend, but it's not a big weekend. If I'm running a seminar or something like that and selling from stage, it's pretty easy to do. We've had $75,000 hours before. Yeah. It's fun, but it's not... I mean, it's kind of life-changing when it first happens, but you do it enough times, you get used to it, okay? What I've found is in order to build a business where you can do the kind of things that we're talking about here, specifically talking about mindset, okay, there's 4 things you need to get right to build a 6 to 7 figure business, okay? from a mindset perspective. Mindset's actually the first one. You need to have the right mindset or you're going to self-sabotage, which is awesome why Steve's chosen mindset as the topic. And I think the people who didn't come here are nuts. They're absolutely nuts. Once you've got the right mindset and you're not self-sabotaging, you need the right business model, okay? Which is why it's awesome that you guys are involved with Steve and Megan, because I'm sure there's training on how to improve your business model and stuff like that. The right marketing. You can have the best business in the world, but if no one knows you exist, you're still going to go broke. So you must have the right marketing. And then you need the right mentor. You need to learn from someone who is not making shit up as they go along. They've done it before, they've been successful, and they can show you how to do it. They can transfer their pattern recognition to you. So you can just implement the pattern and achieve results in a fraction of the time that it would have taken you otherwise. Okay. Now, this is what I used to coach people on when I had a business coaching program. I shut down at the end of last year because I didn't want to do it anymore. And if you get just these four things right, you can make $1 million easily. Okay. There are other things that you need to do to keep that money, obviously, but you can make the money with just these four things. Without even one of them, you'll never get there. Okay. So why don't more people do it? Why aren't more people making 75 grand in a weekend? It's not easy. I'd write that down if I was you. Are you sure? They think it's not easy. Okay. Do you think it's not easy? Okay. I'd definitely be writing that down, all right, that you believe it's not easy to make 75 grand in a weekend, if you have any desire to make that kind of money. Yeah. Okay. Why else don't people do it? They don't know how. A little secret is, you might have noticed, when I say people, you can actually remove that word and put you in there. Okay? I ask questions that it's called... Sometimes when I'm teaching, I like to step back and explain what I'm doing at the same time. Is that okay? Like, is this interesting to you guys? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, from a suggestion, hypnosis kind of point of view, to get someone into the state where they're ready to accept suggestions... You can talk about someone by talking about other people. So when I say, why don't people do this, you're not thinking about why other people don't do it. The answers that come to your mind from your subconscious are actually all about you. When I say, why don't more people do this, and I use the word people, but I'm actually talking about you, that's called displacing the referential index. Okay, that's the psychological term for it. You are the referential index, and I'm displacing it by not talking directly about you. I'm talking about someone else, which gives you the freedom to come up with answers without feeling attacked. Does that make sense? By thinking about other people instead of thinking about yourself, we've removed you one step from yourself. You're no longer critically analyzing what I'm saying, and you're accepting the suggestion that I want you to find reasons why you're not playing at this level. Okay? Does that make sense? Is that cool? I'm playing with my mind. Yes. That kind of thing, I often don't explain this in like 90-minute, two-hour sessions like this. I do, when I used to do longer format seminars, I'd go into how to do that kind of stuff. But that's built all through the presentation, okay, to help you actually get this without really needing to think about it too much, which is why I deliberately don't provide notes as well. I'm happy to give the presentation afterwards, but I want you thinking and having it coming through your head, down your arm and out your hand as you take your own notes, what's relevant to you at the time. Okay? So that's the slight side point. Why don't more people do it? I found that the reason that people don't do it is because they've been programmed to fail. This is directly from my book. What I found is there are 7 habits that lead to failure. And I call them habits because, again, a habit is something that can be changed. All right? It's not like the 7 rock solid things that will never change in people. And I found this by studying thousands of people. There are also 7 things that consistently lead to success. And in a moment of clarity, I suppose, I found that I could turn each of those lists of 7 things into an acronym for the word failure and success, because that makes it easier to remember. When something's easy to remember, it's easy to implement. When it's easy to implement, it's easy to get results. Okay? So, the first habit of failure is fear. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we're going to talk about it in more detail in a minute. Okay? Just know that if you're afraid of something that's being triggered at some level, the fear comes up, it's a major cause of self-sabotage, and therefore you don't take action and get the results at the level that you want, which is my definition of failure. Okay? After that, the second thing that causes people to fail is attention displacement. What does that mean? That's when your attention's on the wrong thing at the wrong time. So you should be writing an email, but you're making a cup of tea. Okay? And you know that you shouldn't be doing that. You don't need another cup of tea. You've had three this morning. You should be writing the email or getting off Facebook or whatever it is that you're doing. Okay? Attention's on the wrong thing at the wrong time. Next one is indecision. It's again, this came from studying people, but it's also been studied by scientists and psychologists, and they found that the faster you make decisions, the more likely that decision is to be correct. Okay? The more likely that decision is to be correct because the critical faculty hasn't had a chance to come in yet and give you all the reasons why you're probably making the wrong decision. All right? It's actually correct to about 85% of what it would have been if you'd had all of the information in front of you and you'd studied it for like an hour. Okay? So we need to learn to trust ourselves when making decisions. I've mentioned a few times I do martial arts. I like reading ancient samurai texts, things where one samurai would be sitting in a cave and then meditate for 20 years, and this is actually true, you know. Another young samurai comes up and asks him to explain the secrets of being a samurai, and then he transcribes the whole thing. There's an awesome book. It's actually like 17 volumes long. Yeah, it's huge. I haven't read all of that because the only part you can get in English is about 200 pages. And really interesting book. And in that book, one of the things that stood out to me is a saying that this is one samurai passing on to another. He said, every decision should be made within the space of 7 breaths. And he didn't say most, he said every decision. And you think about the environment they lived in, it was life and death. You're walking down the street, at any point someone could pull their sword out and try and kill you. Okay? So every day they're faced with the fact that they're potentially going to die. And so if you've got a decision to make, you must make that decision. Now, maybe you're sitting there going, well, it's good that we don't live in those times anymore, but how do you know when you walk down the street today, someone's not going to pull out a knife or a gun, or a car's going to mount the curb and accidentally take you out, or you're not going to fall over and accidentally bang your head, and then that's it, your time's done. We spend all this time procrastinating on decisions, when if we just make them, we're going to be at least 85% correct. Okay? At least. So, indecision. That leads to lack of action. It leads to, but they're also independent. Some people are very decisive, make the decision and then don't do anything about it. Okay? So if you walk into the gym, you set up the squat rack and you walk in and then you go, cool. You don't ever lift the weights, what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. You don't build a body like this. Yeah? No. Thanks again. So, lack of action. You have to actually take action, okay? You're looking at me like, yeah, of course. You're skinny, man. Next one is unrealistic expectations. This is where I've got a problem with The Secret, that DVD we talked about before, Law of Attraction. That's fantastic. There's an actual scene in that movie where an Aussie guy by the name of David Shermer, who used to teach investment stuff and got chased down the street by a current affair. Why did you rip off all these people? You know, whether he did or not, who knows? I mean, those guys are full of it anyway. But he's in the film and he's sitting there and he's saying, I was so sick of bills appearing in the mail. And I learned the secret, the law of attraction. And then I just started visualizing checks appearing in the mail. And you know what happened? Checks started appearing in the mail. Yeah, I can see by the look on your face that you're going, awesome, I'll try that out when I get home. That little part of your mind that goes, bullshit, is probably firing off right now. Yeah. In that whole movie, which goes for 3.5 hours, there's one section. It takes 5 seconds. I timed it. And only one time in that whole movie, there's a guy called Joe Vitale. You might have heard of him. He's a kind of mindset dude from America. He's sitting on a stool. They go, cut to him. In 5 seconds, he goes, you have to take some action. Cut. Oh, I think they put it in there as a caveat saying, no, we mentioned that you've got to take some action. 5 seconds in 3.5 hours of just visualize and it'll magically happen. I think it should have been the other way around. Like, take action, take action, take action, take action, take action, take action, and think positive. Okay? It really should have been that way. That's the real secret. So repeating patterns. A repeating pattern is anything mental, emotional, or physical that happens over and over again that gets in your way, slows you down, holds you back, or stops you achieving the results you want at the level that you want them. If the same thing keeps happening over and over and over again, there's a very good chance that something's going on the subconscious level that if you resolve it, that repeating pattern will go away. Okay? And sometimes it's very subtle. It's that every time you go to do a speaking gig 2 days beforehand, you start getting a sore throat. Yeah? Why are you getting a sore throat? It's because maybe you're a little bit scared that people are going to reject you when you get up on stage, and so you start sabotaging your ability to actually do the thing you need to do. Yeah? You see this kind of thing all the time when you start looking into it. And the last one is external negative influences. External negatives. Okay? So this is anything outside of you that slows you down, holds you back, stops you, gets in your way of achieving what you want at the level that you want to achieve it. Now look at the list. How many of those things are external? One. So out of seven, six of them all happen inside of you. Okay? Now, if I had six people over here and one person over there, and we said, here's a rope, let's do a tug of war, who's going to win every single time? These six. Okay? So, yes, it's important to associate with people who are going to lift you up and not be negative and remove yourself from negative environments, but there are countless stories of people who grew up in extreme poverty and terrible life situations who are now doing really well because the other six things they had sorted. Okay? So, let's talk about fear for a bit. Of these three fears, which one holds you back the most? Fear of failure, fear of rejection, or fear that you're somehow not good enough? Now, this is for you to write down. I'm not going to ask you to call this out. Okay? This is a personal thing. Which one holds you back the most? We're going to talk about fear a little bit more. Anyone heard of the part of your brain called the amygdala? Yeah? Now, I'll make this pretty simple and easy to understand. I used to teach anatomy and physiology in another life, so we could geek out on this, but I'll make it pretty straightforward. The amygdala is the part of your brain that scans your environment for threats. It does other things, but that's what we're interested in right now. Okay? So it's constantly adjusting your attention, what you're focusing on, based on threat levels. I'm here talking. If someone ran in through the door right now and screamed, everyone get out, there's a fire, but I hadn't finished my sentence, where would you be? You'd be out the door. It doesn't matter what I'm saying anymore, right? There's a threat. That part of your brain is constantly scanning. It's like, a fire? Who gives a stuff what Nick's talking about? Let's get out of here and protect ourselves. And that's very important. We develop this as a survival mechanism. The problem is that it works as well now as it did when it was developed. Okay? And that's actually a problem if you want to achieve the success that you want to achieve. Because it was designed, if we can say designed, to stop you getting eaten by saber-toothed tigers. Okay? So we're out there doing our foraging for berries, and a saber-toothed tiger comes around the corner around a big rock, and the amygdala's scanning, you get that little... You ever had that feeling where you're not even looking at the threat, but the hairs on the back of your neck stand up? You just know something's wrong, and you look around, and you're like, oh. So imagine you look, and there's a saber-toothed tiger. Okay? What are you going to do? Run or fight. You've got an actual inbuilt response, the fight or flight response. Okay? You get a dump of adrenaline, your pupils dilate so you can see more, the blood from your extremities pools in your thoracic abdominal cavity to protect your internal organs, and so if you get cut on your extremity, you don't bleed out as quickly. This all happens naturally. The adrenaline makes you, you know that someone who gets scared, the stereotype is the knees go weak and they wet themselves at an extreme level. That's actually so you can run faster. Your body dumps the wastes so you're not as heavy. Yeah? Not like, doesn't make you feel good, but it's efficient. Okay, that's at extreme levels. If you didn't have that and the saber-toothed tiger walks around the corner and you're picking up the berries and you look and you go, that's a fascinating creature. What happens next? Lunch. Okay, you're gone. So that's cool under those circumstances. Now, what happens a lot is it triggers under the wrong circumstances. So, you've just walked into a cafe. And over there, now, I'm married, all right? Let's pretend for a moment that if you're married or you're here with a partner or you have a partner, that you're single. Take your mind back, okay? And in the corner over there is the most attractive person you've ever seen. And you'd love to walk up and start a conversation with the intention of maybe asking for their phone number and seeing how things progress. In total honesty, raise your hand if you'd be completely cool with doing that. Look around. Okay. Why? What's the worst that's going to happen? They say, well, actually, the worst that's going to happen is you walk up and they go, oh, you creep, and pull out a gun, and, you know, that's worse, isn't it? What's likely to happen? What's likely to happen? Maybe. It's just as likely that they'll go, yeah, sure. Okay. You're interesting. Here's my number. All right. This part of our brain senses that as a threat. Why? Because way back when we were all kind of in tribes and, you know, you had to rely on the tribe to provide for the needs that you couldn't provide for yourself, ostracism from the tribe meant death. Because when the saber-toothed tiger comes around the corner, you need five people with spears to take that thing down. You can't do it on your own. So if you get kicked out of the tribe, you're going to get eaten by something. You're going to die. Okay? You're going to starve, you're going to freeze, or whatever it is. Or another tribe's going to come along and go, oh, look, there's a threat. Let's kill them. Okay? And we act as if that's true now. You ever walked down the street in a major city and looked people in the eyes and smiled? Freaks them out, yeah? I'm generally a happy person, so I smile a lot, and I am comfortable in myself, so I like to look people in the eyes. It's just a thing. In the country, it's cool. Yeah, I live in Tamworth at the moment. My wife bought a ballet school there, and it's refreshing. You walk down the street, everyone says hello. They're looking in the eyes, they say hello. Then we go to Sydney for a weekend, and you walk down the street, and everyone's got this look on their face, like they're going to try and kill you. When actually they're scared that you're going to attack them. Yeah? Yeah, they don't get it. Yeah. So, what I want you to do is grab a pen and a piece of paper and write down my fear is, and then fill in the blank. What's the fear? My fear is, on the flip side, I'd rather feel. In that situation where that fear comes up, assuming everyone wrote it down, whatever your fear was, how would you rather feel? And what we're looking for here is what emotion, if you were to replace the fear in that situation, would allow you to get the result that you want. Okay? So instead of fear, when I come to speak in public, I am rock solid confident that I'm going to do a good job. Or instead of fear, when it is walk up to the pretty girl or guy in the cafe, I'm comfortable in myself and I accept myself and there's no way they can reject me because they don't know me well enough to reject me. Okay? How can someone reject you when they don't know anything about you? All they're simply saying is, I don't feel like investing the time and energy in getting to know you. And that's fine. That's everyone's choice. Okay? So how would you rather feel? This one, it's actually, if you're happy to, it's cool to tell me if you didn't want to say the fear. So what would you like to replace the fear with? Confidence. Self-belief. That's okay. You can talk too. Having the empowerment and the guts to do it. Okay. Happy with something good enough. So that would probably be acceptance, I'd say. I mean, use your own word. You don't have to use my word, but that's the concept that comes to me. Over here? Empowered. Very nice. You got something written down? Confidence. Confidence. Comfortable and confident. Carefree. Confident. Confident and empowered. Okay, confident and excited. I've been doing this for ages. Sorry? It is a key theme. Over 95% of people, when asked this question, have some variation on confidence, okay? Which is why the technique I'm going to show you after lunch, you can use to install in yourself any emotional state that you want. But we're going to do it with confidence so you can have one under your belt. Okay? And this is the reason. So people say confidence is the answer to fear. So here's how people used to fix these problems in the old way. Okay? We do trial and error. I'll just figure it out on my own. And therefore, you can only get the level of results that you're capable of achieving without outside assistance. Okay? We believe that change takes time. We've been programmed to think that change takes time. If you want to change something, you need to spend years laying on your back on a therapist's couch and tell me about your mother. Okay? And if you want to do it yourself, then there's books and courses and seminars on affirmations, which is like, there is like a picture of a guy hammering his head. That's what I think affirmations are. It's old technology. It's like, I'm rich and successful, I'm rich and successful, I'm rich and successful. And you hope that you eventually believe that. You look in the mirror and do the Tony Robbins thing and go, today's going to be a great day. Today's going to be a great day. It doesn't actually work. It's been scientifically proven that affirmations work for people who already believe them. I think that's crazy. And if you don't believe it, it actually lowers your belief in yourself if you don't already believe it, because the critical faculty is, they're going, I'm rich and successful, I'm rich and successful, and then another part of your brain's going, no you're not, no you're not, no you're not, no you're not, no you're not. Six people on this side, one on this side, tug of war, wins every time. Okay, affirmations don't work. So here's what does work. Instead of trial and error, we use what I call mindset mapping. It's possible with the pattern recognition skills to find someone who is creating a level of results that you find you'd like to reproduce, extract that from their subconscious mind, so how they think, how they feel, and the unconscious patterns that cause their behaviors. You can turn that into a reproducible model and install it directly in your own subconscious mind so that you automatically think, feel, and act like someone who's performing at that level. Does that sound too good to be true? Yeah, it ain't bragging if you can back it up, right? I used to teach a 3-day workshop on exactly how to do that called Mindset Upgrade. Instead of change taking time, change happens like that. Actually, all change happens in an instant. Hold a pen in your hand like this. Okay, now pick it up. How long did it take? Instant. Try to pick up the pen. You either pick it up or you don't. Yeah? The change happens in an instant, but sometimes the results take a little bit of time to show up. You ever seen one of those cartoons where there's like a guy digging a tunnel and there's like this much dirt left, and then there's a huge diamond on the other side, but he's actually turning around, walking away with the pick over his shoulder? Yeah. So the change is instant, but the results sometimes take a little while to show up. Instead of years on your back on a therapist's couch, we can change pretty much anything in 7 minutes or less. Okay, I say pretty much. I've worked with almost every kind of problem imaginable. The only things I never used to touch is like full-on psychological disorders like schizophrenia and stuff like that. Okay, I won't go near that because they're not in good mental condition to work with. All right. Outside of that, there's not a lot that you can't fix. And instead of affirmations, we just bypass that critical mind that goes, no, you're not, no, you're not, no, you're not. We put that off to the side, and then we embed the suggestion directly into your subconscious mind. And then the change is instant, and then sometimes the results show up straight away. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Is that cool? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. So we'll leave it there because we're going to have lunch. I'll come back and cover this bit afterwards. Just before we break for lunch, because I think I've got about 9 minutes left, does anyone have any questions? If you come back after lunch, I am, yeah. Yeah. Indeed. Anyone else? Lunchtime? Did you guys enjoy that? Beautiful.
A round of applause for Nick. Thank you, guys.